Blog Talk Radio.
Let me talk to you.
You ain't nothing but a bunch of lies.
Really, you the devil in disguise.
Fool me once, you can't fool me twice.
Keep it 100,000
times. Doing all the texting back and forth.
You know you're not connected to the source. Pissed off, take my wig off. You're leaving me no choice. I give you so many chances. No need to babysit. I'm correction. Keep dancing around the question.
Cause you can't be perfection. In the industry,
you see, I'm trying to leave a legacy,
irrelevant to my progress,
independent, oh yeah,
and you.
Tune in and listen. Queens on a mission, dripping the mic on Sunday nights, presenting you with 2020 visions. So join us this day and every Sunday night with Amira the Songstress on Blog Talk Radio. A for sure way to start your week off right. 2020 visions on Drip the Mic.
No regrets.
You're tapped into 2020 vision of Drip the Mic Network. All is well. Stay focused. Hey, 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 you guys. Yes, we made it back in here another Sunday. I'm so happy to be home. Last weekend I was in Florida and we celebrated my brother's wedding. Oh, I say birthday. Birthday is always on my mind. If my birthday could just be every day of the year, no, I wouldn't be right because then I'd be as old as the earth or something. Anyway, how y'all doing? Welcome to 2020 Vision. Happy Sunday. Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. We are back. You know, today I decided to just, you know, let's just chat it up. Let's just talk. A few years ago, I used to get on Facebook and I had this little show that I kind of crafted called Let's Talk. And I would just get on and talk about my day or just talk about issues or current events or just thoughts that I would have just randomly. Or I would just take you guys wherever I went. So, and, you know, you'll be surprised how many people just want to be all up in your business. No, you'll be surprised how many people actually just want to talk and just kind of commune with one another. We just like to connect. I guess it's no surprise as to why there are so many devices that allows us to connect. So I guess, you know, we just like to connect with one another. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk. We're going to chat it up. We're going to connect with one another. So definitely call in Drift the Mic Network, 646 646- 678-0355 and help us out by pressing 1 so that we'll know that you want to come on and chat it up with us and, you know, chime in on some of the subject matters that we have. But y'all know how I like to do. First of all, I want to give my shout-outs. First of all, I want to shout out my new makeup. Well, she's not my new makeup artist. Dina, I'm not cheating on you. Actually, Dina sent her my way, and she did such a lovely job. So just want to thank her for coming in on the tail end of things and beating this face, honey. Anyway, her name is Leslie. Shout out to Leslie. Give her a hand. Yes. Well, it doesn't give me joy to shout this next person out, but I just want to pay homage for him, for the laughter that he brought us, and often the truth, and some hard truth when we didn't want to hear it, but he definitely had a way of saying everything. I want to shout out Paul Mooney, the late, great Paul Mooney. Thank you so much for your contribution to our art, to our history, to our lives, to comedy everywhere. Thank you so much. I think I have a little information about him I want to read to you all. This happened a few days ago, so I'm sure you all know, but let's get into some facts. We got this from New York Times, May 19th, 2021. Paul Mooney, the boundary-pushing comedian and comedy writer who made his views on race, racism, and social justice abundantly clear as Richard Pryor's longtime behind-the-scenes partner, a contributor to the In Living Color, and a performer and writer on Chappelle's Show, died on Wednesday at his home in Oakland, California, and he was 79, and the cause was a heart attack. His publicist, Cassandra Williams, confirmed that for us, and then Mr. Mooney was found to have prostate cancer in 2014. So you can read more about Mr. Mooney and who he leaves behind, but I just wanted to, you know, just make mention today and shout him out and tell him that we can feel his energy permeating through the universe and saying, tell the truth, honey. Just tell the truth. No matter what you do, tell the truth, honey. So that's what we're going to do as much as we can all the time. And thank you again so much for your energy. Next, I want to shout out my girl. I say it all the time. Nicki Minaj. Yes, honey. Her song, along with Drake and Lil Wayne, is number one on the U.S. iTunes sales chart today. So I just want to shout her out. She dropped her mixtape, which was a, she re-dropped the mixtape. You know, it was out several years ago, and she re-released it. And we got a couple of bonus songs on there. I mean, I just love seeing these three together. Like, I fantasize like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Shaq when they were like teenagers playing a game, right? And you were like on the, you know, field and watching them play a game. Like, I liken them to like Lauryn Hill with the Fugees. Like, you know, I love when these three get together. I mean, it is magic. And they have bars upon bars upon bars on that song, Seeing Green. I love it. Congratulations to you all. I felt like it was like a rebirth. Like, they came out like hot babies, you know what I'm saying, coming out the womb. It was hot. So anyway, shout out to you all. Congratulations to you all. And welcome back. Yes. Give me a hand clap, Tony. So as I said, today we're going to chat it up. I'm going to show a couple of clips of a couple of videos, and we're going to, you know, just talk about them all. My husband, he's going to jump in here. Mr. Cookie's going to jump in here and, join the conversation with me today. I'm not alone.
Never that.
So, first of all, let's get the first one. This one is called Karen on the Plane, on the Airplane. But I want to shout out who did we get that from on YouTube? I got this video off of YouTube, but I do want to shout out the original person that posted the video. Thank you, because I will use TikTok and YouTube and Instagram, and I will snatch videos and I will show them on this show, just so y'all know. However, I will give you credit. So thank you for putting the content out there. I don't discriminate. It could be, you know, Good Morning America, or it could be just you putting something out there, and I'm going to show it. I mean, you go mess around, it's going to wind up on 2020 Vision, baby. So, okay. Want to shout out Karen on the airplane. That's the title for this one. Can you show that for me, Tony?
Ma'am, I'm right here. Are you going to get off the aircraft, or are you going to sit there and scream? I'm just asking.
Get out of hand clap, Tony. I'm like, woo-hoo!
She was funny. Absolutely hilarious.
Yes, I cracked up. It was funny to me. I think when it was posted, it was definitely, you know, talking about the race thing, calling her a Karen and look how she's acting and things of that nature. And when I watched it, you know, I saw the black woman and I saw her, like, you know, put her arm up. And I haven't seen the whole video, so I can add the other context to this. But I just found myself thinking, like, nah, that's just that lady. Like, she just acts like that. Like, she thinks that, I don't care who it was, she would probably be doing that. Like, she seems to have walked around privileged for a long time in her life, or thinks that there should be some privileges, or there was another thing that came to mind. You know, maybe, you know, she felt overlooked and taken advantage of, and not necessarily at that moment. I'm talking about throughout her life, and disenfranchised and, you know, so she wanted to take whatever little, you know, power or solace that she had in that power at that moment, and she victimized a victim or someone that she sees as a victim or always being victimized, you know, someone that she said, well, at least I'm stronger and more powerful than her, you know. And so, you know, the psychology of a person, you never know, you know, what's really going on in their mind. But I was more focused on who this woman must be as a person, you know, what's going on with her. You look like you wanted to say something about that.
Oh, I'm intently listening.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to unpack there with that lady. just the simple fact that she, you know, that she felt, you know, that you know, kind of yelling and screaming was the right solution.
Yeah.
When there was already an attendant that was there, there's people around, but, you know, going to the point of doing that, just that kind of baffles me. So regardless of why she thought it was, or, you know, whether or not it was a, you know, her race had anything to do with it, was just absolutely, you know, kind of baffles me.
Yes.
And then again, that's, you know, like, you have a child that does that, and you always look at that child and be like, stop, what are you doing? You know, and like, try to correct that type of behavior. But this is a grown woman, you know, a mature woman who looks like she's probably had, who might have some kids who are adults at this point.
Right.
And here she is yelling and screaming because she didn't want someone to walk past her. She wanted someone to wait on her to get up and get out of the way, which she was refusing to do, apparently.
You know,
so it's just like, all right, this is, you know, this is ridiculous.
But then that brings up another point too, because maybe, you know, because in the video she looked like she was a little heavy, you know, and so maybe she had trouble getting in out of her seat, and she knew it was going to take time for her to get up, and probably was just very agitated with people pushing past her, or, you know, overlooking her, which is, like I was saying earlier, maybe she's been overlooked in her life, so she wanted to victimize, you know, someone else that is already, you know, a victim, you know.
Yeah.
But that bully, like, if you're getting beat up at home or if things are going horrible for you as a child at home, and you go to school and you victimize the first person that looks like a victim, you know, you bully people that seems weaker than you. At least you have some power.
Yeah,
you know?
Assert your dominance over what you can in your life.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
It's possible. I mean, you know, obviously there's that, you know, looking and seeing the brighter side of everything. So there's definitely that possibility. And you know, I mean, obviously, you know that I try to do that at times too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, it's, if you're traveling, you kind of get that, you know, like at some point you should realize that, you know, the average person realizes that, hey, you know, I'm in this situation,
yeah.
You know? So even if you are, you know, whether it's heavy set, whether it's, you know, elderly and can't move very well or whatever, most people realize, hey, this is my reality. And if you don't, if you can understand that that's your reality, then you also, you know, as a human, you would understand that not everyone lives in that exact same reality. Not everyone has that same situation. So most people, almost everyone that I know or have ever met who have a reality where they're either, you know, heavy set or elderly or can't or aren't very mobile, they understand that, and they're not going to try to hold up the entire world for themselves. So
I would say some people are, you know, like you said, that logical or able to be that logical. But whether you're hurting because people have hurt your feelings and or looked past you, looked over you, or disregarded your needs, or whether you're physically hurting, it can cause you to feel some kind of way. I feel like it can cause you to be upset. Like, damn it, just, you know, I'm still here. You know, I was immediately when you was talking about it, I was thinking about when we was taking care of my mom and, you know, the times that we actually had to get her on the plane. And I remember feeling for her, like, damn, slow down. Don't you see, you know, we have her in my, you know, my mom in a wheelchair, and you're so concerned about getting on the plane faster or first or before we do, or
right.
This extra 10 seconds that you have to stand here and wait for us to get her, you know, through the, what's the runway? What is it? When you get on the plane, is that much more important than the health and the safety of this human being that's disabled in some kind of way, and even elderly. And if you live long enough, you're going to get there as well in regards to being, you know, elder. And so I remember even feeling like, you know, you guys are some rude suckers. You know what I mean? You guys,
you don't
care about anybody but, you know, but yourself. And, you know, you know, I wasn't even the one, you know, sitting in a wheelchair. I wasn't the one that was disabled. But, and of course, I'm going to be extra sensitive because it's my mom. Let's be real. But at the same time, like, I can just really feel the frustration she must have either, you know, been going through or either have gotten accustomed to going through. But I don't feel that we don't have those feelings when someone is being showing blatant disrespect and disregard from our lives. I don't think we're all capable of just kind of clicking that logical thing on.
Yeah, and you might. I mean, obviously, you know, I think you're right that we don't always have that, you know, and it's extremely easy to sit back here now, you know, right here and not in the situation and conversate about it, you know. So and like you said, we have no idea what was in that lady's mind or what was going on in her life.
No, and definitely not advocating for her, because, you know, I'm all about, you know, empowering us as a people. You know, I love us. So definitely not saying one side or the other, just offering other perspectives, just because we had that short clip and I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened before. I don't know if she was like, you know, called her the N-word. I don't know if, you know, I have no idea what happened before. I know that, thank God for the stewardess.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I think that was absolutely hilarious at the end too, where she's like, I work here, you know,
like, what are you talking about? She even came out of her mask, like, don't let, like, me come off this mask at your ass. Like, for real.
You attacking them.
Right. Like, I just saw you attack them and you're screaming, like, and that's Karenism at its finest, you know.
right.
That's exactly what they talk about when they talk about a Karen, you know. So I wonder what the people think. You know, I don't know if there's chatters right now that feels like engaging with us, or if anyone wants to call in at 646-378-0355, and then you press 1 to let us know that you want to get on here and chat it up with us. We're just showing things that I see during my week, and you know, I like to call current events, and and I'm just going to talk about them and voice my opinions, and you're more than welcome to do the same on this public forum. 2020 Vision, baby. Broadcasting through Drip the Mic Network as well as UBN Go Studios.
And where can you see us? You can see us on Facebook Live right now. Yep, right now. Either on Amira the Songstress or 2020 Vision, or you can even go to UBN Go and see it there as well. So go on YouTube, see us at Amira the Songstress or 2020 Vision. And if you're a Twitter head, if you got Twitter fingers, no shade, you can definitely go on Twitter and see us live as well. And to all my IG fam that likes to be in the background, what up, Daryl? I see you coming to Houston pretty soon. We're going to put it down. Kenya, how are you? I see you as well. Thank you guys for joining, chiming in. Chat it up with me, you guys. Don't be shy. It's all about your opinion today. We're going to just chat. Let's talk. Let's talk about it. Did we have a caller?
So there's some folks online, but nobody raises their hand.
See if they want to see if somebody want to chit chat with me.
All right, we got Joel from
talk
he was
about
on before.
Karen.
Oh,
hey, Joel, come on, are you there?
Hey, Joel.
Yes, sir. Hey, can you hear me? Sorry about that.
Did we surprise you? You like it's on me. How are you?
Fantastic. How's everybody doing this evening?
Good. Did you get a chance to check out the little video we just shown that was titled Karen on the airplane?
I didn't see it, but I heard it. And
okay.
Just by listening, I could pretty much see what was going on. But yeah.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah.
What is your interpretation of what was going on just by the sound? This is going to be interesting. I got to hear this.
Well, to me, the whole thing just smells of privilege.
Okay.
And that's what I got. I mean, these, you know, I hate to say these folks, but these folks straight tripping these days. You know, it's like they got this fuel to just go for it.
Right.
You know, no filters, no nothing. But in a way, that's good because we are seeing who those hidden ones are now. So now
we know what we're dealing with.
So that's a good thing. In a way, it's still bad behavior, but yeah, now we know.
Now we know exactly what we're dealing with. So your thing is just show yourself and you'll be good. You'll know how to move.
Yeah. it's the ones we don't know about this seems to be having their hands on all the strings and whatnot, but they're being exposed as well these days too. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Most definitely.
Do you have any interesting stories that you can tell us that relates to, I don't know, just someone, you know, overexerting their privilege?
Oh, man. What is that? Who's that old poet? Let me count the ways.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm retired now, but, you know, I see things in the workplace. You know, I work for corporate America. I see it then, you know, this whole cronyism type thing. You know, somebody's son gets in, next thing you know, he's in the top slot. You've been there for 20 years, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, I see that. You know, but I say it's becoming more prevalent now.
Right.
It really is.
So,
but one thing I do hate, I don't hate anything. One thing I dislike a lot is that summertime hold your arm up to mine bullshit. I hate that.
Summertime, hold your arm up to mine.
Yeah, you know, everybody want to compare tans. Get real, people. Get real, people.
That took me a minute. Okay. So, okay, it's the summertime, right? And annually, when the summertime comes, where you're at, they want to hold their arm like, hey, you know, look, I'm starting to get like you. Is that what you
said? Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
I've seen and heard that before a couple of times, man.
What?
Yeah, where you know that you know, oh man, I'm getting dark like you, like really, like that's what you think, like being in the like you got suntan and now all of a sudden you think you can relate to being black. No, that's not the same thing. But
exactly, man. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. And so and this stuff happens at the workplace, or in the workplace, or around the workplace.
The workplace, you know, people you know, hanging out, shit like that.
Yeah.
Your quarter finger friends, you know, you hang out with them and all, they still pull that same old stuff. Come on, man. Are you really my friend?
Right.
Thinking ain't in the right spot, you know?
Do you think they understand that, that it's offensive?
No, they don't understand. They don't understand at all. They have no sensitivity to it whatsoever, no concept of what that actually feels to a person.
Do you feel like it's your place, or I don't want to say that. Do you feel like you should be the one to educate them, or you feel like they need to go pick up a book?
No, I educate as
okay.
I communicate. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. No, I speak my mind on that situation. You know, hey,
yeah.
This ain't, you know, don't do that.
How is it received? Like, is it, you know, oh, okay, I get it, or does it tend to offend them?
The ones that do get offensive, I no longer communicate with them anymore, but the ones that, listen and understand where I'm coming from, yeah, we still cool.
Does an apology come after that, or, you know, is it just a teachable moment, or does, you know, do they feel a little convicted in
it? A dialogue comes from it.
Okay.
You know, now a lot of time a dialogue comes, sometimes it's a little shame that comes too, but, you know, once we had a dialogue, they kind of see where I'm coming from and kind of check themselves, you know?
Yeah. And then the ones that, you know, are still your friends, how did the relationship get better? Did it grow? Did you guys become closer, or, you know, what is that like?
I mean, the friendship, you know, we still friends. You know, I can still call them, you know, if I need something, or vice versa. You know, that relationship, you know, stayed strong, or got stronger, I would say.
Yeah. You know, that sounds like that's the antidote a little bit, you know, to a lot of the problems, you know.
Yeah.
Not saying that everybody is going to receive it, because like you said, the ones that didn't, you guys are no longer friends, and that lets you know where their heart was. But just like anything, any friend, like it doesn't, even if it didn't have to do with race, just like any friend, when you tell them that they've done something to offend you, even if they didn't do it on purpose, but it offends you, you know, if they love and honor and respect that friendship, you know, typically they're going to, you know, not do that thing again, you know?
Yeah.
So it sounds like that's a little bit of a starting point, you know? Let me sit down and tell you how you hurt me, and if you can accept, you know, even though you didn't mean to do so, if you can accept, you know, that you did and responsibility for it, and then take responsibility by apologizing and, more than that, changing your behavior, we might get a good start.
Yeah, and on the same token to that, you know, you don't want your friends walking on eggshells either, like, you know, feeling like they can't say anything. Just think about what you're saying. That's all I'm saying. Just think about it. Like, you know, you got to, you know, be protective of, you know, I can't say nothing to this guy because, it's not that. It's not that I'm overly sensitive to anything. It's just certain things that, hey, you know, check that behavior, because that's that deep-rooted type stuff that's coming out.
Yes. Yep. Set off for there. Well, thank you for calling in. I love it when you call. This is the second time, but, you know, you always got something good to say. So I want to take your call when you call in. So don't be shy.
Oh, I appreciate it. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Talk to you soon. See you next
Absolutely.
Sunday. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
So that's it on the lines right now. No other chatters, you know, as of right now.
Uh-huh.
But I also want to take a moment to say I really appreciate that brother's, demeanor.
Oh, demeanor. Okay.
You know, because his approach to it, because,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's very simple and easy for people to see their side of the house, their side of things, and approach things like, hey, I'm offended, and be ready to rip someone to shreds because they offended you.
Uh-huh.
But there's a different level of understanding and humanity to say, hey, you offended the crap out of me, but I'm not going to return the favor by ripping you to shreds off the bat. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that maybe you don't understand, or maybe you don't know any better than, you know, than what you just did.
Yeah.
What you just did, you know, it signifies or indicated this to me, you know? So now that you know that, now what?
Right, right.
You know, yeah. Giving the person that opportunity because, man, you know, there's plenty of times where, you know, where just as a human, you know, I'm sure, I guarantee, I know that I've done things that has offended someone else and not really realizing it, not understanding it, you know, but someone telling me, hey, you know what, that's kind of offensive. Like, oh, sorry, was not trying to be offensive.
Right.
Either I heard this at this point in time and I thought that that was normal, or I thought that that made sense, mm-hmm. but now I realize that it doesn't. I'll never say it again, you know, and, you know, now, you know, obviously, you know, that part of that comes from me, you know, being, you know, going overseas and traveling and stuff. So sometimes you do things overseas and, you know, like, you know, just something as simple as being at a Japanese restaurant and sticking your chopsticks into the rice.
What?
That's completely offensive.
I've done that in a couple of times because that
like
sushi
just,
roll.
If you just set them in there and just let them sit and stand straight up in the rice. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Completely
well, sometimes
offensive.
When I can't pick it up, my sushi piece up. I'll stab the rice.
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
If you're eating it, it's leaving.
I've been offending people for years. Okay,
it's leaving them, like basically setting them in there and just leaving them there.
What that mean? What does that mean?
I can't remember, but I just.
I was like, what that mean? I thought we was at home. What that mean?
It has to do with death or something. I don't remember. I don't recall all the details. I just remember it's very offensive in this, you know, and like even
like
if
stabbing somebody.
Even if you set them down, there's a certain way that you're supposed to set them down. Now, most people in Japan understand if you don't look Japanese that, okay, you probably don't understand and they
mm-hmm.
will just politely let you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, you know, like you do something like that, you have no clue, you know, so it's like, you know, all right, you know, I mean, and once that happens, once you realize that, hey, I've offended someone without even trying, not even understanding, you have a bit of a different, you know, take on things, and it's easier for you to look at someone else and say, hey, you know what, you might not have realized that what you were just saying or doing is completely offensive. So let me explain and educate you why that's offensive.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't always work. Kind of like you said, hey, those folks who understood or took it on board and they're still friends, and friendship is probably a little stronger than it was before. The rest of them, they, you know, that took offense to what he, or, you know, to him trying to educate them or didn't want to listen. Yeah, he ain't friends with them no more. And, you know, and I can understand why.
Right. Right. Tony, by the way, are you new headphones? Yes, I love them. They're softer and lighter, and yeah, I love it. And they fit my head. I don't feel like I got a helmet. Yes, honey. Thank you for that. All right. So let's get to this next video. Oh, this is pick this one. This one is called Voter Suppression, and we're going to speak on that, and we're going to actually have Mr. Cook lead the conversation for that. Show that for us, Tony.
The Georgia law, it got a lot of attention on the issue of being able to give voters water while they're waiting in line. But the provision that seems ultimately possibly the scariest of all is what it does in terms of empowering the Georgia legislature in dealing with election results. What can you tell us about what the Georgia law does in changing the aftermath of voting and how the legislature might or might not be able to interfere with the count?
Part of the effectiveness of voter suppression is that it doesn't aim at a single target. It tries to dismantle or weaken the entirety of the system. And so, yes, no water because people are going to be standing in line for 7 or 8 hours and might just give up and go home. But if they make it through the gauntlet, they get their ballots cast, they get the ballots counted. On the other side, the Republicans have said to themselves, we may not like the outcome, so we're going to wrest away the power that we have invested in our election workers, people who are putting their time and their talent and their lives on the line sometimes. And we're going to say that they can be overturned by the act of state legislators who don't like the outcome. When you do that, what you are saying is that it's not worth knowing what the outcome will be because they're going to rig the outcome that they want. What we'll say in response is, oh, it doesn't say that in the law, but I've been in politics long enough, as have you, to know that what's on the paper can be just the precursor to what happens in reality. And because they are also trying to weaken access to the courts, we don't know the full extent of the power they have given to themselves, but we know enough based on what we see happening in Arizona, what happened in Georgia, what the president of the United States tried to do across this country 70 times. We know that it is not going to be good for America and certainly not going to be good for voters, and it is not good for democracy.
Republicans don't like what happened to Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani when they went to court anywhere in this country.
You notice where you made those hands go? Touche.
So, well, I picked that clip because, you know, you when you were asking about, you know, something in politics right now that's kind of that kind of important and kind of means something to me, and, you know, I feel like has a bigger impact across the board. This was a big piece of it, and primarily not because it's you know, the standard, you know, what everyone talks about when it comes to voter suppression, like, hey, we all have our vote or our voice. And, you know, if you're silencing our voice, then we can't be heard. And, you know, and all that, all that's good. And I agree with that, you know, is a good insight and good look into the state of our country right now and the state of what, you know, the world that we live in and why it's important for us to fight. And when I say fight, I don't mean physically fight, but why it's important for us to pay attention to what's going on, pay attention to what's being said, and, you know, whether it's get out and vote or get out and protest or get out and be active in it to try to push things to, or so that our voices can be heard and, you know, one way or another. And the reason why I think that is, let me take a step back. I hear people talking all the time about Democrat versus Republican and, you know, whether it's bipartisan, all this other crap, and I'm calling it crap for a reason. Literally, I think that that's a bunch of crap, and I don't think it matters whether, what political affiliation you're with. What I think matters is your values.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not looking at things and voting your conscience or voting, you know, and voting in accordance with your values, then you're 100% in the wrong. I don't want to sit here on a soapbox and say my opinion about voter suppression, but, you know, hey, the information's out there. You can do a quick Google search or go to, BrennanCenter.org. They have, it's a Brennan Center for Justice. They have an entire state voting bills. And so it goes over all the different voting bills for every state. And, you know, you can look and see the ones that are, the bills that are listed to, that have been listed as restricting voting access, and then bills that are expanding voting access. And it actually has the bill number and the whole nine. So you can actually look up that information and go and verify, and which is what I suggest. You know, you can't go across the entire country as one individual or but we have to go, you know, we go state by state, you know, so what's being affected in our region? What's happening in our area? And just look at it and, you know, read the bills and, you know, be an active participant. Whether you agree with the bills or whether you disagree with the bills is not my point. My point is that there's a lot of conversation back and forth about what should and shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be done. And the reason I'm avoiding actually talking very specifically about voter suppression, is because, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think anyone on this planet can say, hey, you know what, limiting or keeping people from voting is the right thing to do. You know, I think that most people, you know, say, hey, well, we have to do it systematically, or, you know, so no one's going to say flat out that, hey, we should limit people's vote to only what I want, because they know for a fact that would, you know, that's completely contradictory to the idea of a democracy. So no one's going to say that out and open. So there's no point in me addressing that particular issue. But there is a point in addressing, hey, everybody needs to stand up and pay attention. So not just pay attention in the sense of, oh yeah, this is the same crap that people have been talking about for years, but it is, it's not, first off, it's not the same crap. It's similar, but it's not the same. But in addition to that, it's, you know, if you pay attention, you realize that it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Right.
And it's no different than, you know, any of the other laundry list of things that we bring up, but aren't as, are way more touchy. Like, I'm, you know, again, chose this one because it's not as touchy of a subject. So me saying, get out, educate yourself and vote, or get out, pay attention and participate. I can say that all day about this, and, you know, you're going to hear some rumbles, grumbles, but no one's going to try to burn the studio down or nothing. Right. But if you start talking about Black Lives Matter, you know, then everyone gets super right wing or super left wing and so on and so forth, which, again, I have no qualms standing my ground and saying how I feel about things. But for the purposes of getting the message and the point across, I felt like this was a better topic to say, hey, you know, here we are. We're talking about voter suppression. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Well, do you know the laws that are in your state? Are they good for you? Are they good for your state? Are they good for the people in that, you know, and it's like your friends and family? Or are they bad? Or do they help, you know, or do they hinder, you know? And starting there, understanding it, because we can all sit back and say, hey, all right, I'm going to listen. When Stacey Abrams tells me that this is a bad bill, I'm going to agree with her and say it's a bad bill.
Mm-hmm.
But is that the right way to do it? You know, I mean, again, that's, if I'm going to be frank, that's pretty much why we have most of these, most people who are extremists do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at either side of the aisle. You look at the extremists who, you know, and again, we won't talk specifics, but on the extremists on either side of the aisle, the reason they're extremists is because they blindly believe what someone else is telling them.
Uh-huh.
They're not going and getting the education themselves. They're not going and looking at it. They're not reading the bill. They're not reading the document or, you know, and making a determination for themselves about the situation. They're saying, hey, all right, you know, and I'm sorry. Yes, I'm a Navy boy. So I was about to say Seaman Timmy. But so, you know, again, Stacey Abrams said that this is a bad bill. So I'm going to go and vote that this is a bad bill. And I'm going to argue to the death that this is a bad bill.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, OK, well, have you read the bill?
Right.
You know, do you know why it's a bad bill?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it is or it isn't. Mm-hmm. But why do you think it's a bad bill? Because mm-hmm. Stacey Abrams told me to. Well, OK, that's not the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And now, don't get me wrong. I agree with, I don't think I've heard one thing that Stacey Abrams has said that I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
So my point isn't that Stacey Abrams is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My point is the idea behind blindly believing someone else's word on things without doing the research or, you know, or involving yourself in the situation is just as bad as knowingly voting or knowingly supporting something that is not good.
Right. I get it. So this is one that's near and dear to your heart. You know, my mind was blown just thinking about not being able to give another citizen, you know, a bottle of water.
Yeah.
That's great. Like that just, it's almost like, is this really happening? You know?
And if I'm mistaken, that the law was passed. So this isn't like a conversation that, oh, hey, let's fight to keep this from happening. It has happened. It has occurred, and now they're fighting to get it, you know, to get it rescinded, if I remember correctly. But again,
so
that's in Georgia.
To detour the elderly and the sickly, basically, because, you know. And
not even that, just like, I mean, you know, and, I think in other clips or other places you can look and you can see that in the average waiting time in lines in Georgia during this past election was like, low-income and minority communities. The average wait in those lines was like 8+ hours.
So basically, they got to bring their own water.
Yep, they're supposed to bring their own water, their own food, their own whatever, you know, or you know, and you know, like, and now there's.
So is that countrywide now, or is that just in Georgia?
No, that was in Georgia. That was specifically in Georgia.
They're hilarious. And, I mean, it's just so blatant, it's so overt, you know. And yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nah, so I mean, you know, but again, that's. And there's, you know, again, within that, you can look and you can read this, you can read the bill and say, okay, well, it's like, you know, like you and I've talked about at different points in times, you know, things are not always written down to the detail to say, hey, it is this or thou shalt only do this and never anything else, right? So they say, hey, you know, it's illegal to hand water to someone in line, right? But, you know, the wording that they're using is very vague. So that, you know, the explanation is, well, we didn't mean it to be to the point where no one can get help. We meant it to, you know, to be that, you know, hey, a specific political affiliated party can't come out and say, hey, drink this water or we'll give you water if you vote for our candidate, you know. And it's like, okay, well, if that's what you meant, you should have said that.
Right.
But that's not what you said, you know.
Okay.
So hey, it's open for interpretation.
Oh,
that's how they sell it.
Yeah.
But again, that's you know, again,
it
that's...
It sounds like elementary school.
Exactly. There's all kinds of different ways to look at it.
Bullies,
but,
and then the people that are trying to, that are anti-bully, you know, and... It just really sounds like, you know, they play dirty to try to win and say it's fair, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. And as I said, I have my own personal opinions about it all from A to Z. And
well,
you
that's
know,
what
you'll
be here to show.
At the end of the day,
I
completely think that 90% of these bills, that are basically suppressing the vote in some way, shape, or form is a bunch of BS. They're just, no different than Stand Your Ground and some of these and a bunch of the other laws and a bunch of other things that have been put in place. And you know, and again, if you look back at the track record, you know, strangely or interestingly enough, these things, a lot of these things came into place when during certain periods of power, right? And you know, and it's essentially we keep trying to, you know, during certain periods of power, we keep trying to roll back the clock, trying to get, go back in time to a time where, hey, well, this was the good old days or this was the better way to do things or whatever.
Instead of progressively moving forward and just, you know, fixing what's broken. And at the end of the day, you can't rewrite history, you know.
So. Right. And now one of the things one of the reasons why I mentioned about political parties is because, you know, I do not wholeheartedly agree with either party. I think that there's a lot of things, or I completely disagree more or disagree with more things from one of the parties than the other, but both parties have things that I just can't, you know, that I can't get behind.
I mean, as human, we all, you know, we don't all agree on every, we're all not trying to move in the same, I think we all have a lot of the same goals, but the road and the path that we take to them is always going to look different to each other.
Yep.
And we're always going to say, well, I could do it better, you know?
Oh yeah.
Well, let's open up and take some callers. I know I just got a text message that there is a caller on the line. Is there someone with their hand raised?
Yep. I didn't catch a name on this individual. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Who's on the line, please?
This is Arden.
Arden, how are you?
I'm good. Very interesting, Mr. Cook, what you were saying, and you know what? I couldn't agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that you should probably run for mayor of Los Angeles, too. You really sound like a politician, but a good politician, a real leader, a real good leader and politician.
You act like I wasn't already considering it. We've had joking conversations about getting in politics, and I've thought about it, but... I don't think I have what it takes. I don't think
it's
I have the background
that.
Or the.
It's not that. You definitely have what it takes. It's not that. It's just that, you know.
Yeah,
you
got what it takes.
Yeah,
if you want to do the job, it might be a different story.
Yeah, are we ready for that type of lifestyle? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, your lifestyle is open book, but so what you're saying, I totally agree with you, and I kind of see that it kind of links to. The white woman on the airplane, you know, she's the kind of white woman you want to get with when you're broke and, you know, it's income tax time. Anyway, I don't want to say white. that was sarcastic too.
Okay.
Yeah. For your listeners, totally sarcasm. I got to twist this little film. Okay. But there seems to be a connection. I don't. You know, I'm tired of saying white privilege. I want to say white brainwash, because it's so sad. You know, on like black people are brainwashed, Hispanic people are brainwashed, poor white people are brainwashed, and then so we have the people that's making the money off of all of that. You know, they're making money off of hatred, racism. And all of that's what they're making money. And the big lie is that we, black people, I mean, all over the world, I mean, we could go to Siberia, and if we see a corner, there are going to be some black men on that corner, you know, sitting around playing checkers and stuff and talking about what used to be.
Yeah.
We have to... And I say this, and I don't know if people really hear it, and I know you all say it, we are kings. And what people have to realize, okay, they're going to say, well, how can I be a king? How Kim, how, and Arden, how can you be a king and everything like that? Well, we have to realize there are different levels of royalty. You know, and it depends on what the job that you have to do here on this globe. At the time, but we are kings. Every black man and every black woman is a queen. So, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the woman, because we had to come through the woman to even get here. It's not, we didn't, you know, the man didn't have birth. Women birth. Men cannot birth. You know, I kind of want to see how this ties together.
Okay.
The thing about it is, we're in a situation right now, especially in America, they want to take us back to ugly times. And actually, they want America to become like, did a lot of things like Hitler. And that whole administration, we say, oh, we see it now. We see it now. Well, some of us saw it like 400 years ago. A lot of us saw it 400 years ago. So it's just not now that we see it. It's that most people got cell phones, and those Hitler-type people have gotten more – no, they're not people, because I watched it on television, and they were crawling the walls. You know, and if you've been to the Capitol, you know, I mean, those steps are huge. Why didn't you just wait and just walk up the steps? You're getting hurt. Crawling up the walls, you look like a bunch of ants. You animals.
That was the show right there, you know, because, you know, I heard that they were there early. They were there earlier, and you know, some people actually walked up the stairs with all the extra stuff. That was for the show. That was for the cameras. You know, everybody want to be famous. You know, everybody loves Hollywood. Everybody wants to be in Hollywood. You know, like everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame. Give me my 15 minutes, baby. So you know, so. I believe that was for the show. That part was for the show. And, you know, staging a coup, you know, the revolution will be televised, you know, all of that stuff, all of that jargon. You know, I feel that it could have been a huge scare tactic if we didn't find it hilarious. Like, you know,
yeah.
We could have all, oh, what's going to happen to us? You know, but we thought that shit was funny. We thought it was hilarious. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at them.
I'm scared.
Yeah. You say you're still angry or you're still laughing?
I'm still laughing at it.
Okay.
I'm still laughing at it. There's nothing that they can, you know, it kind of saddens me. It's not going to make me angry anymore, because you got to remember, if you are going to get in a fight, don't be angry before you throw your blows. Calm yourself down, and you do what you got to do. And, you know, you usually come out on top. But what do y'all think about that? Well, I mean, what do y'all think about? Well, we know about voter suppression. Voter suppression is about, like Mr. Cook said, and but it's about making money, you know. And I'm kind of like him. I'm like, I don't know about this Republican and being a Republican or being a Democrat or any of that, you know, people. But Mr. Cook, well, I must tell you this: the majority of people do not think for themselves. Which is very unfortunate. They're followers. They're not doers. So they will follow these so-called leaders. And I have to say so-called leaders, because they're not really leaders, but in a sense they are leaders, but they're scary little punks that have some money, and they want to control people because they have money. And most people will follow the leader. Like, for instance, have you ever thought, how did a Hitler become in power? Well, he became in power strategically, and he started small, and then he got maybe 100 people to follow him. That 100 became 1,000, that 1,000 became 10,000, 10,000 became 100,000, and then so forth and so on. And then he became in the power. And those people would actually, if they saw Hitler walking, well, and actually they did do it, but if they saw him walking and he jumped and he walked off a cliff, into like burning fire off that cliff, they would follow him off of that cliff, the majority of people. And that's real unfortunate. Most people are followers. The thing that's what's wrong is that we just have the wrong, I believe, that we have the wrong type of leadership. So the wrong so-called leadership. I think right now we're in a transition to where the right leadership is going to come out. You know, like, maybe you would run for mayor. Maybe you have to run for mayor.
He brought that back around. What say you?
So I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with what you said. And matter of fact, I say something in, you know, around the house and, you know, and then conversation with my friends and family all the time that, that the masses are stupid. and not because people inherently are dumb, but when you get in a mob or when you get in a, and when you get in a large group, the average person, you know, would prefer not to do all the extra thinking and all the extra work because it's work, you know? So the average person, you know, defaults to what the group is saying. So if the group says, you know, let's charge this hill, or like in the case of January 6th, let's storm the Capitol, then everyone says, okay, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. And unfortunately, you know, even when you stop and try to, you know, approach one portion or one person with that group and say, hey, you know, let's conversate about these different pieces and let's look at the little parts and why do you think that this makes sense, or why is this the important piece, or why does this, you know, why is this something that you think we should do, or you know should be done? And you know, they're going to have a difficult time explaining explaining why what they're supporting is accurate or correct or right, but they still won't back down. Why? Because they're still part of that group think. And hey, okay, the group says that we're supposed to storm the Capitol, so let's storm the Capitol, period, point blank. And so I agree so much with that, you know, and not because I think it's a bad thing or a good thing, just because it is what it is. And you talk about good leadership, good leaders versus bad leaders. And I think that, you know, that's a huge part of it too. We have leaders who understand that, you know, and then you look back in history, and any leader that was a great leader or that had been listed or marked down in history as being a good leader, they understand that. They understand mob mentality, and they understand that, hey, you gotta, not only do you pander to the crowd a little bit, but you use it, you know, you utilize that mob think to move the world or to move the country or to move, things in the right direction. When you don't, there's always going to be those outliers who are going to stand up and fight back. Right. So not everyone agrees and falls into mob mentality, but if you're moving the mob in a bad direction, and again, not to talk about political affiliation, but I'm not going to stand here and say that I agree I can't think of one thing that Trump did that I agreed with. I'm not saying that I don't agree with anything he did, but I can't think of anything at this moment. So let's talk about that. You know, if he's riling up the mob and leading the mob down the bad path, what do you wind up having? You wind up having all these outliers who, hey, as he's thinking, hey, mob mentality means that everybody does what I say. Yeah, that's true. But that only falls, you know, when you're talking about doing it for the wrong or for the bad of the group, there's always going to be people in the group who are intelligent enough to say, hey, all right, I'm not going with mob mentality. I'm part of the checks and balance in this thing. Or, hey, I care more about myself than everyone else, or however you want to look at it. There's always going to be, some few folks in there that says, hey, you know what you're doing is not good for the group, is not good for us as a whole. And they're going to make some noise. They're going to raise a stink, and they're going to keep moving. So that's why, but you don't get that when as a leader, you're moving that mob towards the good, because they, you know, those folks that are doing the research and that are, you know, thinking for themselves say, hey, yeah, I agree with you, you know, or I may not agree with every part, but the majority of what you're saying is good. And so I'm going to, you know, so I'll stay on board. I'll support this effort. And so, you know, and, you know, I'd say that, you know, that in a nutshell, in my opinion, is one of the ways that you can tell a good leader versus a bad leader. You know, that, you know, they're going to, because anybody who's in leadership understands mob mentality and has, you know, and even if they've never sat in a class or never was, it was never expressed to them, they understand it just from a general sense of being able to lead people. And you have that general sense of being able to lead people, whether it's a 5-man team or a 100-man unit, or, you know, moving up to, you know, larger, an entire state or an entire country. The reality is, you know, you have some level of understanding what mob mentality is. And if you don't, then I doubt you're going to make it, you're going to make it through the chopping chain or the chopping block to get elected into an office. Right. So getting to that point means that you understand it to some level, and, you know, you either harness it and use it for good, or you harness it and use it for bad. But when you harness it and use it for bad, people stand up and take notice and speak out.
Yeah.
How you feel about that?
So,
What is the solution?
Where do we go from here?
Okay, wait before you answer that question. All right. Arden, do you happen to be around a bottle of whiskey?
Or scotch? No, I don't drink.
You don't drink? You got some green juice?
Nope, I haven't gotten any in so long because of this isolation. Yeah, I was a connoisseur, but I haven't had any because after my last surgery and stuff, I tried some, and I got so doggone paranoid. I was like, well, I can't do this while I'm by myself.
Oh, no.
My doctors
like,
even tell
well,
me.
You thought I meant green. You thought I meant green and green? What you thought of it? What?
I'm talking about good herbs.
Oh, yeah. So you thought I meant herb. I meant like green juice, like kale, apple, spinach, you know.
Oh, actually, I'm looking at some right now. Yeah, I'm looking at some.
Yeah, okay. Because we're going to do a toast really quick. We feature a whiskey every month. And so, again, the difference between scotch and whiskey is?
Scotch is a type of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch of different types of whiskey.
But you said the whole Scotland thing.
Yes. So scotch is whiskey that's made in Scotland. And it's made a very specific way, which makes it scotch.
Okay, so we're going to do our toast. And you're going to tell us all about... You know what? You're on camera. So you can actually hold it up and talk, I think.
All right. So to the month of May, and let me see if I can adjust this a little bit. There we go. The month of May, we're drinking Belvini. It's a 12-year aged double wood. And this particular one was aged in whiskey oak to start with and then finished off in sherry oak. So it has a fairly sweet finish at the end. And it's Belvini is one of my favorite scotches. Probably, you know, like not this particular one, but they make my favorite one, which is the Caribbean cask. But anyways, this version is very close. It's aged 12 years, and again, it's two separate barrels. The first in the whiskey barrel, and the second one in the sherry cask.
Okay, so I want to propose a toast really quick. Whatever you're drinking, whether it's green juice, water, whiskey, scotch, that's the whiskey, that's the scotch, whatever it is, please raise your glasses and just shout out to the people, shout out to the people's voices, shout out to yourself for allowing yourself, your voice to be heard in this world, in this universe. Shout out to you for putting your energy into the universe, you know, especially we want to honor that positive energy. Shout out to you if you woke up and you decided that you were going to win today. Shout out to you for putting your will into the, you know, thy will be done. And only thing that makes this thing turn is our will. Mm-hmm. So keep putting that positive will into the universe. Shout out to all the voices heard and unheard. Shout out to those that are voiceless. Shout out to you. Amen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to the ancestors. How dare me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Henry, I think he was asking you a question. What is the solution? And then after that, do we have chatters?
So I'll go ahead and we have one chatter, but
okay.
I'll go ahead and respond to that. The short end is roll up our sleeves and put in some work. Like, you know, there's so many different ways that we can get involved and we can affect the change, but that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, you know, and I know the cliche is everyone getting involved and everyone rolling up their sleeves. And, you know, let's be honest, that's not going to happen. Not everybody is going to step up and do things, which is why you have mob mentality and so on and so forth. But enough people who care and who are willing need to get involved to make a difference. and whether regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, that's all it takes is enough people who agree with that cause to get involved with that, you know, for that cause to make it happen. So And if we as a total understand that, you know, so yes, we can talk about electoral college and voting and how your vote doesn't actually one person, one vote isn't actually true and all this other stuff, which I agree with, but it's a symbol of getting involved. And if one side of the house has more people involved towards this goal than the other side of the house having involved towards the opposite goal or an opposing goal, then the side that has the more people involved working harder typically wins. It's like a tug of war, right? If we're all playing tug of war, but we have 15 people on our team and the other team only has 7, people is going to win. So, you know, getting involved and having more people get involved and fight for us or fight for those goals. So that's literally the short answer. The long answer is very, very more in detail, and there's so many different pieces. And I'll be honest, I don't have the answer for every piece or every aspect of it. But what I do know is, you know, I can't remember. I'm sorry, I had this quote in my head, but I just kind of lost it. But long story short, we have to band together and we have to work towards that common goal. And so whether that's just starting off small and saying, hey, let's elect our local officials and get these local officials on board and the ones that actually agree with us and represent us versus some local officials that sound good because their name is known, that's one start. And then the next start is forcing and holding them accountable, to actually represent us. And if they don't represent us, be willing to vote to have them removed or sign the petitions like, you know, they did here in L.A. To remove Governor Newsom, or I shouldn't say in L.A., but in California, sign the petitions to have them removed or to vote for, to have a vote of confidence and those kind of things. Hold them accountable. So if they're not representing us properly, hold them accountable and make sure that they get replaced or that they understand that we're not putting up with it anymore of politicians or people who are elected to lead us just sitting in an office collecting a big fat paycheck and supporting whoever gives them the most money or supporting corporate donors or supporting their own personal agendas instead of representing the people. So those are the ways we start. And then it just keeps in it. In my opinion, it's like a snowball. As it's rolling downhill, it's going to pick up and get bigger and bigger and gain momentum and so on and so forth. But we got to start there. That's my personal opinion. I'm sure there might be some experts out there in the world that say things differently or have a different spin on it, or maybe they'll say the exact same thing but use different words. But that's Henry Cook's take on it.
Wonderful, wonderful. We want to move this train on down the track. Y'all thought I was going to say up the road. See, I had to think about it. Train up the road. That doesn't make sense. Train down the track. No, that makes sense. Anyway, Arden, you can hang out with us if you like. We're going to get into this next video so we can conversate about this. And you can hang out with us if you like. For those listeners and watchers that want to have their voice heard on this today, you can call in to 646-378-0355 and do us a favor. Press 1. That raises your hand to let us know that you would like to speak. I think there's other callers on the line, but they haven't pressed 1. So if you're on the line and you're waiting right now and you're thinking, why haven't they picked me or called on me? It's because you haven't pressed 1. We need to know that you actually want to come on and say something. Otherwise, tonight, if you're just listening, be my guest. We have no problem with that either. I'm going to take this one chatter, and then we're going to get into this next video.
It was
okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Why you just say that?
That's what I was trying.
Like, okay, I was going. I saw you walking out there on the cliff. I told you it was a cliff right there. I kind of whispered it was a cliff, and now you're dead. I don't know what to say. Anyway, so Tony, can you? It always happens. I know this all well. It's the story of our lives. Number 3, hero on bus. The hero on the bus. This is a kind of a long video, so we're going to just take it section by section, and we're going to, we're going to unpack this thing, and we're going to talk about it. Show the hero on the bus for us, Tony.
Our ABC News exclusive with a school bus driver in South Carolina who kept his cool during an armed hijacking, helping all 18 children on board walk away safe. We're going to speak with Kenneth Corbin. There he is. We're going to speak to him live in just a moment. But first, Janae Norman has that story.
This was the heart-stopping moment. An Army trainee used a rifle to hijack a South Carolina school bus with 18 children inside earlier this month. Bus driver Kenneth Corbin keeping his cool and the children safe for six painstaking minutes. 10-year-old Keandre James, one of the students on board.
I called my dad and so I was telling him that I was being held hostage.
The gunman eventually letting Corbin and the children get out to safety. Police identifying the gunman as 23-year-old Jovan Collazo. This morning, he remains in custody, facing two dozen charges, including 19 counts of kidnapping. A veteran school bus driver, Corbin, had recently completed annual training about what to do if a bus is taken hostage.
You can see and hear how calm he was, how controlled he was, and how his training was put to good use.
State officials honoring Corbin Friday for being a hero under extreme pressure. For Good Morning America, Janae Norman, ABC News, New York.
Our thanks to Janae. And
so I just want to stop there. The story goes on, and we'll unpack it and break it down. But just just want to stop right there. Like, man, he had been driving the bus for several years. They said, he was a veteran bus driver, and I'm sure he didn't imagine anything happening. Like, what would someone want with a school bus full of children, 18 children, 18 babies on his bus or whatever, So just the fact that he remained calm in a situation like that. And that was a huge gun, first of all. So, he didn't know what was going on. And then to have Army on there, I was thinking maybe even when he saw it at first, maybe he thought this was something official happening, because he shows up with an Army t-shirt on and his big gun, like maybe this person was going to help them to safety. I mean, who knows until he starts giving him, demands.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and the unfortunate thing is something like that is so simple to get nowadays. But of course they also said that he was a recruit, right? So, So I'm sure he got that through basic or whatever. And,
what's basic for those who don't?
Basic training. So, boot camp, is the short, version. So if you've been, if you haven't been in the military or don't know much about the military, most people have heard of the term boot camp. And this is just the basic training that goes through before when you first join the military as an enlisted, individual, whether it's Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, every single branch has their own version of a boot camp.
Okay. So something he was able to get from basic. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure he got the what he was wearing from, while he was going through basic would be my guess. And,
and he's a young man too, like 23.
Yeah. 23 years old. You know, and so I had, there's so many different parts of that story that stuck out to me, like obviously the happening, the fact that he had a military standard military issue M16, which for the most part, those, like the fact that he had it, brings up a lot of questions for me. Like, hey, was his unit just that lackadaisical where they allowed him to have his own, to be able to walk off, off post or off the area with a rifle, or was this thing that he purchased on his own outside of the military? He got his hands on a military grade weapon, just out in the open market, as well as even, and this is a completely different topic, but that police sergeant or the police captain or whoever he was, talking about putting his training to good use, like literally that
well what
sent
what,
chills through my body.
I thought he was talking about the actual bus driver.
He was.
So you're saying it to say what?
Because only someone who is trained, like a cop or mm-hmm. or like, and has a mentality like this is good,
mm-hmm.
hoorah, rah, 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 mm-hmm. kill kind mm-hmm. of mentality.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Only someone that would say to good use. It's not good use. because, and yes, it helped out with the kids, but putting that type of training to good use, says a lot about that person's mentality when it comes to that type of stuff. Like, that's a horrible, horrific situation. So you would never, so using the term good in conjunction with that is what worries me. And that's what it sent chills through my body when I heard him say it.
Okay. All right. Tony, can we get a little more of the story, please?
And joining us now is Kenneth Corbin. Good morning, Mr. Corbin. Thank you so much for your time. And you heard Janae just refer.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. Janae just referred to you as a hero. Others have said that about you as well. But you say, nope, the praise should go to the students on board. Why do you feel that way?
Well, actually, when at the very end, the kids were the one that actually got the gentleman off of the bus. And they pretty much had my back as much as my concern were with them. And at the end, when they start questioning him, it seemed to frustrate him because his main objective were to get to the next town.
Mm.
But in the end, I think we only rode about 4 miles, and he just got frustrated with the questions and just told me to stop the bus and just get off. All y'all get off. That was about it.
So it was the interaction that was going on with the students that was frustrating him?
Well, yes, as we were traveling, I guess he realized there were several students, at the rear of the bus and kind of scattered throughout the bus. And he decided to move all the students up front. So he got guests to keep us all in close proximity. And when he did that, especially in some of my kindergartens, they started asking him questions as to, asking, was he a soldier? And he answered, well, it seemed like he hesitantly answered, but he said, yes, I'm a soldier. And then they wanted to know why. They asked him, why are you doing this? And he never did have an answer for that one. Then they asked, was he going to hurt them? He said no. And then they asked, was they going to hurt our bus driver? And he said no. All I'm going to do is take y'all and just put you off the bus. And from that point, it seemed like he sensed more questions coming. And it seemed like, I guess, something clicked on his mind and said, enough already. And he just told me to stop the bus. And y'all just stop the bus right here and just get off.
Well, I don't know.
That was pretty much
I wanted to get a little deeper into the story, and I just think that's amazing. By the way, shout out to Good Morning America and Robin Roberts and ABC for providing that footage and YouTube, because I got it off of YouTube. But thank you guys. I know you guys might mute me later, and Facebook might mute me later. But shout out to all of y'all. But anyway, that story got a little deep for me. And those children, man, those babies, they definitely, they're pure, they're honest, and they can definitely be your conscious. I don't know. He probably wasn't thinking, I was going to say, I don't know what he's thinking, hijacking a school bus out of all things. There's no thing with him, in the rest of the story. But the fact that the children just innocently started asking questions like, aren't you a soldier?
Right.
Imagine, obviously you and everyone knows you're military. So, I mean, just imagine that situation. Like, sounds like a situation you would have got called up about, and you would have had to be a part of, maybe not captain's mass, but the decision to, send them to captain's mass or whatever. It seemed like you would have been a part of that decision-making process. So if that came across your desk, like, I just can't even imagine, but what would be your take on that?
Wow. So my take on that is almost identical to what you said. Like, the fact that these young kids were the ones that were asking the question,
disarmed them.
It's kind of a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, it's shocking that, is it Bill Cosby used to have that that show called The Kids Say the Darnest Things, and then Tiffany Haddish had it, and then you know, and then we, you know, the old saying of out the mouth of children, or out the mouth of babes or whatever.
Yes.
That, you know, the reality is, like, sometimes as adults we get so into our own heads or in our own way that it takes, you know, someone as innocent as a young child to ask a question that shocks us or snaps us out of whatever stupid, dumb thing that we're thinking or feeling. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm above that or like I haven't done that myself, you know, or haven't been that person myself. So, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. Number one, that's what occurred. Number two, you know, I thank God that he wasn't one of those people who was like so impatient that he decided to turn the gun on the kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, like I can't say enough about the situation from that regards.
Yeah.
Now, from the regards of this this Army guy, cadet, I guess. So, you know, I'm not 100% sure. Obviously, I don't know him or don't know the situation, but the way the terms that they're using gives me the impression that he didn't finish basic training or something.
Okay.
Gives me the impression that he never, you know, crossed over to being a full-fledged soldier. you know, but I could be wrong on that. But that's just kind of the you know, again, you talk, you know, everyone uses words a certain way for a certain reason. So that's the impression that I get. But for this guy, like, you know, clearly there's some things, you know, he's dealing with some things. He's dealing with some kind of demons to think that the best or the way in which to solve whatever issue and problem he's having was to hijack a bus. And when he realized and recognized that this bus was full of kids, to not say, you know what, never mind, you know, I'm done. You know, like, I joined the military to protect and serve.
Yep.
Not necessarily the same way that the cops say protect and serve, but for the purposes of, hey, I'm going to go out here and be part of something bigger than myself and protect this country, protect this great nation, and be willing to put my life on the line, you know, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, right? And I guarantee, you know, anyone who's ever taken an oath or who has ever thought about that or who's ever considered that would not say, hey, you know, putting the lives of 18 young children in danger is not a part of that.
Yeah, 5-year-olds mainly. You know.
And, you know, so, you know, again, whatever is going on in his life that made him think that that was an acceptable solution or the only solution, you know, I can't speak to, and, you know, and I, you know, and I, you know, well, part of me feels for him, but the other part, you know, of me just, you know, wants to say, whiskey tango fox shot.
Yeah.
You know, and so for all those folks out there who understand what I just said, great. I'm not going to express it or any other way, shape, or form, but I will say, you know, whiskey tango foxtrot. Like,
yeah.
I just don't understand it. And, you know, and you know, in my opinion, there's almost no excuse for it. You know, or I'm sorry, there's an excuse, but there's no reason for it. Or, you know, there's nothing that's going to make this acceptable or make it right in any way, shape, or form to put children in danger.
Right. Well, I definitely want to echo the acknowledgement of Kenneth Corbin. You know, I believe he's a hero in more than one way. First of all, you can see the compassion, you know, that he has for the children. He loves those babies, and he's been, you know, seeing them to and from school safe, you know, for years. He's made, you know, obviously a career out of it. He enjoys it. I think he was just the right man for the job, you know, compassion, big old teddy bear, you know, and, you know, but a protector, a guardian, as they're calling him, as well as a hero. But I also think he's a hero because he spoke up for the children. He not only protected them, but he spoke up for them in more than one way. It was these children, it was the babies that disarmed this man mentally, you know, emotionally, spiritually, without having to use force. And, you know, he recognized that. And I believe if he could have the children there with him on these interviews, he definitely would. So shout out to the children. Shout out to the babies. Shout out to all the free spirits. And when I say free spirit, I don't mean what it typically means when you say I'm a free spirit. I mean the free spirit. Shout out. Shout out to you all. Shout out to the purity of children. Just shout out to the honesty of children, and shout out to them for asking a real question, you know, and anyone that is sworn to protect and serve this country on any level, whether you're a fireman, policeman, or someone in the military, you have to stop and be asked, you know, and even ask yourself and let this question echo in your head, you know, aren't you a soldier? Just simply put, are you a soldier? Are you here to hurt us? Well, if not, then why are you here with a gun?
Mm-hmm.
Let that question resonate with you. Really came down to the last moments of the show tonight. I don't want to leave anyone out. If there's any last comments, Alizé, hey. If there's any last comments, you know, or chatters that would like to say anything, you know, we never go over to Twitter. Let's just, for asses and giggles, go over to Twitter and see if they're actually saying anything. What about YouTube? Anybody got YouTube pulled up? Is there any comments on YouTube? We want to get everybody before we get out of here. This was a little bit of a short one, but I just wanted to come on and say, hey, you guys, I didn't want to take another Sunday off unnecessarily, but we have a great month, rest of the month and first part of June lined up for you guys. We're back into the music. Yes, yes, and yes. We got my girl Tyler Noel hailing from Atlanta. A beautiful singer, beautiful vocalist, and the voice of an angel, and she'll be joining us next Sunday. She has some new releases that she's promoting, and we can't wait to have her on. And then we have a guru, a pioneer in the industry by the name of Stan Shepherd. He's an A&R. He has been one of the A&R representatives for some of our prominent industry label record labels, such as Warner Brothers, and he's also been a writer for some of our very famous soul and jazz musicians. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun talking to him. And then we have a couple of surprise musical artist guests coming on. So the end of May and going into June is going to be a great month for music. And so, you know, we got a lot coming up for you guys. Just wanted to jump on here and let you guys know that I'm still rocking. We still kicking it over here on 2020 Vision. Don't fall short, y'all. Keep, you know, hanging there with me. You got a lot of great stuff coming up. Can we take that off the screen so I can see myself? We got a lot of great things coming up for you guys. And so just hang in there with me as you guys always do. I love it. I love you guys. And, again, just wanted to jump on here and just kind of show my face and, you know, let you guys know what's on my mind and on my heart and just have a good conversation. Last couple of minutes, that number is 646-378-0355. Press 1 if you're on the line and you want to chat it up with us. Last Facebook or Twitter chatters, last YouTube chatters, anybody had anything to say, let us know. And other than that, let's take your closing comments, Mr. Cook, and we got it.
All right, I guess, man, I'm not used to trying to do this, but all right, so for closing comments, I'll say everyone, I wish and I pray that everyone decides to take a page from the book of the many leaders that we've had in the past and just educate yourself. That educate yourself. If there's something that you feel passionate about or something that you're thinking on, you know, probably more than you have before, educate yourself on it. You don't have to become a master in it. You don't have to have a master's degree, but you need to educate yourself before you open your mouth and try to, speak your truth or speak your opinion. So if you guys can, if everyone can just do that, I think that, you know, as a whole, we do better and, you know, we move better. We move more strongly and more effectively in this world. That's on everything that you decide that you want to talk about. Just educate yourself a little bit more. Do some research, do some figuring out and understand and, you know, get a little bit of knowledge. And, you know, and I think, you know, if everyone can do that, if this world winds up being a better place. You know, we all make better decisions when we're educated or when we're informed. So those are my parting words.
All righty. Thank you for coming to camera with us today. They usually hear his voice and no camera time. So we want to thank Mr. Cook for coming on camera with us on 2020 Vision. And again, my name is Amira the Songstress. And the message for today, the story is love, life, and light. It's always that. It's always that letting our voices be heard, fighting the good fight, standing up for each other, being an anti-bullyist, you know, being a person that doesn't like seeing a weak get stomped on and hurt. You know, pick on somebody your own size. Those people, the ones that of us that think like that, you know, pick on someone your own size. That's huge. You know, let us light bringers and spiritual workers and healers, let us step up to the plate. You know, pick on somebody your own size. You know, and let us protect our nation. Let us protect our great nation. Let us protect one another. Let us reconnect so that we can move in our God power. That's what it always is. Love, life, and light. And again, my name is Amira the Songstress. You can find me at YouTube at Amira the Songstress, Instagram at Amira the Songstress, Facebook at Amira the Songstress. And of course, since I am the songstress, I guess you're wondering, where is the music? Well, it's on iTunes, Spotify, you know, Pandora, anywhere you would like to listen, go check me out. I dropped a single in January, dropping the film pretty soon, you guys. I got to get it perfect for you guys. And believe me, it's going to be worth the wait, and that's coming as well. And a lot of fun stuff, a lot of great things I got to share with you guys. It's coming. I know I'm always promising you something, but thank you for sticking in there with me. And again, remember, stay focused.
Let me fix my crown, baby. Like dominoes, yeah, it's going down. My feet off the ground, elevated. You feel my soul when you hear my sound. And I don't know why you, like a red light that don't ever change. And you should know why I'm merging to the other lane. I'm getting close, I'm up next, no regrets. Making hits is a reflex. I'm getting close, don't take a second, second guess. Rather high so you know I'm left. Oh, yeah. Hits is a reflex. I'm getting close. Second, by the height so you know I'm blessed. No regrets, no regrets, no regrets.
Oh, I'm so happy, baby. Yeah, I'm turned on and tuned into that frequency. Bring love, light, and healing in my energy. Hear a major difference in these minor melodies. And I don't know why you're familiar faces in strange places. They don't ever change. You should know why I'm merging to the other lane. I'm getting close, I'm up next, no regrets, making hits is a reflex. Oh, yeah. I'm getting close, so take a second, second guess, by the height so you know I'm blessed. Oh, yeah. I'm getting close, I'm up next, no regrets, making hits is a reflex. I came with the keys to the industry. I came with the keys to the industry. I came with the keys to the industry. Oh yeah. I'm built for this. I came with the keys to the industry. I came with the keys to the industry. I came with the keys to the industry. Oh yeah. I'm getting close. I'm up next. No regrets. Hits is a reflex. I'm getting close. Don't take a second, second guess. By the height, you know I'm blessed. I'm getting close. I'm up next. No regrets. Making hits is a reflex.